This is the Uncommon Man Podcast.
Welcome, welcome once again to the Uncommon Man Podcast. I am Adam.
And this is Duggar.
It's Adam also, but yes, it's Duggar for all intents and purposes. He's back, ladies and gentlemen.
After...
The applause.
After my hiatus.
Yes. His hiatus was mainly because I don't have a very fast internet connection at the dorm room. And putting together a long Skyped conversation is really, really, really hard to do. Especially when there's a 5-6 second gap between when I say something and when he hears it. So, it's confusing. But anyway, I'm actually recording this from my very own house today, and he's actually here in person. So, yes, give it up again. Yay!
Thank you.
Yes. So, let's see. What happened while we were gone? Oh, so many things. The world is now at peace.
Cancer was cured.
And all poverty has been eliminated. It's been great, hasn't it?
Actually, I was just thinking Christmas happened.
It just feels like it's been so long since I've recorded a show. That's what it is.
It has been a long time since you recorded
but
a show.
But not quite that long.
Well, not that I keep up with it or anything.
No, of course not. Not that you frantically click refresh on your iTunes window. No, of course not. Nothing like that. But yes, Christmas, that wonderful time of year when consumerism is at an all-time high, and we all remember what really matters most. Presents.
And exactly how low people will stoop for them.
Mm, especially something so, I don't know, I shouldn't call it insignificant, but, you know, something so, okay, the Nintendo Wii is a good system. Let me start off by saying that. But it's not worth getting trampled for. I have to say that. And I don't think I'm in the minority here. I think a lot of people would agree with me that a Nintendo Wii or even a PlayStation 3 with the wealth of money you can profit on eBay, even with the PlayStation 3 or Tickle Me Elmo, anything like that, it really... You know, it's a nice gift for the person it's intended for, but it's really not worth getting trampled for.
And I suppose I should remember this, but I never do, and I am reminded every time I go out this time of year just how much I hate trying to shop. I mean, I went out to Walmart not for a gift, just because I needed to get a power strip, and I had to wait in line for 15 minutes to buy a power strip. It's just... You use consumerism, and it amazes me just how immature people can be at the retail stores.
It is. They sort of revert back to childhood as they're getting things for their own child.
Exactly. Mm. Although one good thing to come out of Christmas was my $5 Wii.
Your $5 Wii? Yes. You must tell the story.
Well, Walmart down here in Callaway had a raffle. They were selling $1 tickets for a drawing for a Wii. Not a spot in line for the Wii, but a Wii. Plain and simple. So my father put in $5. He called me, told me that he had done it, and he said it'd be funny to win, but he wasn't counting on it. And frankly, neither was I, because, you know, luck just doesn't work that way. Well, we get a call from Walmart about 3 hours later, and wouldn't you know it, we won. So, now, sitting in my parents' living room, is a $5 Wii. They won it on the 24th, and much Wii bowling has been had. Because the plethora of games out there for the Wii, just, they don't suit me yet. I'm holding out for Metroid Prime 3 and... Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
Well, with any launch period, there's not going to be anything that's really amazing or just, you know, completely exciting out. There's never going to be that until you get a couple of, a year or so into launch. I mean, with the DS is a powerhouse in the handheld market now, but the first year it was out, there was nothing for it that was any good.
As opposed to the power-packed title launches with the PSP.
Right, right. With the, where, let's see, with the PSP, they had, oh god, there was a Twisted Metal game and Metal Gear Acid, which I know you love.
With all my heart.
Sarcasm.
To be fair, I am disappointed with where the PSP has gone. The one game out there that, rephrase that, not the one game. There are three games out there that I personally find were worth the money I paid for them.
Let me see if I can guess what they are before you say it. Valkyrie Profile Lenneth.
Yes.
Okay. I'm so close. He's trying to mouth it to me, but I have no idea. What?
Lumines.
Okay, yeah.
Which recently, a sequel was released that I want to try. I just don't have the money to go out and pick it up. But yes, Lumines. And then, Mega Man X.
Oh, right, Hunters. Right. Mega Man, Maverick Hunter X. Yes,
Maverick Hunter X. Those are the only three that have really been worth it. However, Square Enix recently announced, much to my delight, that they will be giving Final Fantasy Tactics the same treatment that they gave Valkyrie Profile, streaming it down into the widescreen, giving it some new cutscenes, and overall just touching up the gameplay. Hmm. Which I'm excited about because I don't know if any of you have ever read any of my video game breakdowns, but Final Fantasy Tactics has been and remains to this day my favorite video game title of all time.
Well, if you haven't figured it out by now, yes, this is the Uncommon Man Podcast, and hi there again. this is where we talk about video games, geeky stuff, whatever, really. We get to geek out talking to each other and talking to you every 2 or 3 weeks or so. We're observing sort of a rubbery concept of time this week, considering that our last show hasn't been. Oh man, it's been probably more than a month since we did our last show.
I think your last update was late November.
Probably so
I don't remember
like
you doing anything in December.
Yes. I've been without a high speed internet line, and that's probably been most of it. But I will be mixing this back at my dorm room, which means I'll have my high speed line back. Yay! How'd you do for Christmas? Did you make off with anything dorky geeky?
The big ticket item that I got was an account on audibles.com, which to me means a lot because I enjoy books on tape. I enjoy listening to some of my favorite stories when I am otherwise occupied or unable to sit down and actually read. I picked up, 11 titles with this credit. I've had one for a little over a year now. My Christmas present was a renewal of the account. I've been subscribing to and purchasing books for almost 2 years now. And that was my big reel. What else did I get? Lots of cologne, which made me feel like I was being told something. Either that or people just didn't know what to get me and figured that was the best get-off type of gift they could come up with. Let's see. And that was about it. That was it, actually. little odds and ends. I got a Circuit City gift card, which I have yet to use.
I got my Wii before Christmas, but it was considered part of my Christmas stash. Christmas haul, I suppose.
Loot,
yes. Let's go with all the pirate things we can think of. My Christmas booty. No.
Let's just show how capitalist we are.
Yes. I got the Wii before Christmas, but it was for Christmas, so, yeah. I got a Wii, I got an extra Wiimote, I've still not been able to find a nunchuck for sale anywhere since Christmas. But I got a Wii, I got extra Wiimote, I came upon a couple of gift cards and such, and money even. So I managed to pick up, Excite Truck and Rayman Raving Rabbids and, a friend of mine from school and my girlfriend teamed up and got me Trauma Center on, Second Opinion, which was extremely nice of them. Thank you. But that's basically all I made off with. Also, it's been a good Christmas. I was able to spend some time with my girlfriend here at the house, and some time with the family, and that's always good. I gotta stop saying too. You really should. Somebody needs to go through this podcast and listen to how many times I say count them, and send me an email, and maybe that'll make me stop.
13
saying.
So far.
Shut up, man.
Not that I count.
Yeah, no, of course not.
Actually, that's an arbitrary number. I have no idea how many times you've said it.
I figured that was right.
Hey, 76% of all statistics are made up on the spot.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Isn't it?
Alright, since you're probably the resident comic book expert, comic book character expert here, I'll let you take this one on.
Alright, well, recently two games were released one of them was released across all the current platforms, I think except the GameCube, and one of them was released specifically for the PlayStation 2. We'll start with the smaller release. It was Justice League Heroes for the PlayStation 2. Released by...
Activision?
No, Activision. No. Activision did Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
I have no idea.
I want to say Ubisoft, but I think I would be wrong.
That doesn't sound right.
Justice League Heroes was recently released for the PS2, and it sought to do what no game had done before, bring together the Justice League, which, for those of you who do not know anything about comics, the Justice League is comprised of Superman, Batman, the Green Lantern, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, the Green Arrow, the Flash, Zatanna, the Mistress of Magic, who I'm not terribly familiar with. But the game sought to bring the Justice League together and unite them for some purpose.
Some throwaway plot.
Yes, exactly. It was a very throwaway plot. And it was hyped up quite a lot. In fact, if you read Game Informer a couple of months back, they did an article on it that hyped it up quite a lot. And I just don't feel like the game performed. Now, don't get me wrong, it was terribly amusing. I loved the game, but really, it's just because I'm such a big fan. I have found that the game just isn't appealing to non-fans. Or at least I wouldn't think that it would be. The graphics... Now, I'm not a big graphics fan, but the graphics did leave something to be desired, specifically in the CGI scenes. The voice acting could have been better. It wasn't horrible. I have heard much worse... But the voice acting certainly left something to be desired.
Mega Man X4.
That would be an example of worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Mega Man 8.
Or Mega Man 8, yes.
You know, take your pick. I'm not actually sure which of those two is worse. That's a debate for another day. But the voices were iffy. I also found that certain characters were incredibly cheap. Namely, Superman. If you pumped enough stat boosts into his heat vision, you could just spam everything on the screen, and there was no point in playing anymore. I beat the game, and whenever you could pick Superman for a mission, it was just over. He would just blast everything with his heat vision. The AI wasn't very special. It only had three settings: defensive, neutral, or offensive, which translated into everything was offensive. So the AI wasn't terribly impressive. It would either stay by you and attack everything or run away and attack everything. But either way, it was going to attack everything.
You know, go back to the cheapness of the characters for just a second. I've always had trouble with superhero games because, especially in Superman's case, you're talking about a guy who is basically a god among men, okay?
Exactly. And then see, that's the problem.
Yeah. How do you faithfully translate having those superpowers into a game where you're doing nothing but bashing robots the whole time?
Superman Returns.
Ah.
That's how you do it.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that's right. Superman Returns, the game, I heard they give the city of Metropolis a health bar, right? Instead of you having a health bar as Superman.
Yes. You, in fact, you can contribute to the collateral damage. There is collateral damage. While you're apprehending foes and fighting monsters, you have to be mindful of what sort of collateral damage you are causing. But there's an alternate mode in the game where you can be Bizarro and your goal is specifically to demolish Metropolis.
Ah, okay.
So for the trigger happy psychos among us gamers like myself who just want to watch something blow up. The game got repetitive, but it was, I think, still fairly good. But back to Justice League Heroes. I think they did a good job insofar as putting a game together. Their concept was very similar to X-Men Legends, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, that kind of thing.
Very.
One of the biggest complaints I have is that it's only two players.
Mm.
And another complaint is you don't really get to choose who you are most of the time. A lot of the missions, you get two of the heroes, and the storyline dictates which two of them you will be. And sometimes I felt like I was stuck choosing the lesser of two evils. Which hero did I hate less? For example, I have nothing against the Martian Manhunter. But he's just not one of my favorite heroes. And when I find myself on a mission with the Martian Manhunter and Zatanna, the Mistress of Magic, to fight a hive of killer bees, I just don't know which is worse.
Flip a coin.
You know?
Was it the John Stewart Green Lantern that was in this game?
Yes. Also? And that's another complaint that I have. The John Stewart Green Lantern. The Green Lantern has had...
No idea the Daily Show host was the Green Lantern for a brief time.
Yes.
And was black.
Yeah, but this is a case where, and in trying to not be offensive or rude, I feel like he was thrown in there to be politically correct.
Mm.
The Green Lantern has had a sordid history. John Stewart was sort of inducted into the Green Lantern Corps by Hal Jordan back in the 80s, I believe. And Hal Jordan served as the first Green Lantern, and then he gave it up. He went psychotic, which is a really convoluted storyline that I don't agree with. And Kyle Rayner became the next Green Lantern. And somewhere along the line, John Stewart kind of stuck out. And when the Justice League came to Cartoon Network, they had him as the Green Lantern. And I felt at the time, still do to a point, that it was just political correctness. Because the Justice League, as it was portrayed in the cartoon, was not the Justice League as it was in the comics.
It was a damn good cartoon, though, I have to say.
It was. Anyway.
Yes.
So Justice League Hero, good game if you're a fan and you're willing to sort of set aside its failings. It's campy to a point. It's irritating to a point. I still enjoy it. But moving on, the other release that spanned many, many consoles was Marvel Ultimate Alliance. And this has been a game that it's been anticipated for quite some time. It's been hyped, it's been talked about, it's been anticipated. People have been on the edge of their seats waiting for it. It was released on Xbox 360, Wii, PS3, PS2, and the Xbox.
And this was basically the spiritual sequel to X-Men Legends, something like that?
Sort of.
X-Men Legends 2?
X-Men Legends came out, and at the time, I thought it was a fabulous game. Mm. I was just in awe of what had been done. I thought that it was a very novel idea, and it was executed very well. How I was mistaken. X-Men Legends 2 was released, and it showed just how glaringly incompetent X-Men Legends was. And after playing X-Men Legends 2, I just couldn't play X-Men Legends again. I actually traded it in and got rid of it. It was just, I couldn't touch it anymore.
So, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, this was developed by the same same people?
Same people that did X-Men Legends 2. The engine is largely the same. You're given at the beginning of the game, you're given four heroes that you do not get to pick. You start out with Spider-Man, Wolverine, Thor, and Captain America, and you fight through the first level. You are then given a team that you can form based on a roster that was incredibly impressive. Even at the beginning of the game, before unlocking all the characters, you still have access to the Fantastic Four, which for the unversed among you would
Wait, let me do it. Mr. Fantastic, the Thing, the Invisible Woman, and the Human Torch.
Oh, good boy, Johnny.
I'm so smart.
All right. Anyway, then you also had, who else could you choose from?
You got your Thor, you got your Wolverine, you got... Yeah.
You had,
Ghost Rider.
He was unlockable. He's not available at first. You can
best hero ever.
You can unlock Ghost Rider, Daredevil, the Black Panther, Doctor Strange, Miss Marvel, the Human Torch. I already said the Human Torch. You said the Human Torch. Yeah. Iceman, yeah, Storm.
I was about to ask whether there were any other X-Men in the bunch there.
Iceman, Storm. You can unlock Nick Fury, the Silver Surfer,
Iron Man.
Yes, Iron Man. Oh, I love Iron Man. He's my favorite character. Well, he's my second favorite character. So it was a really good roster. And then you have guest appearances throughout the game from over a dozen notable figures. Hank Pym, who was Adam's absolute favorite hero of all time, the Ant-Man. He also did a stint as Giant-Man.
I'm just saying, he and Blue Beetle should have gotten together and done, like, I don't know, a one-off comic somewhere.
Yeah, I just won't go there. You got to talk to Hank Pym, the Vision, who was a one-time member of the Avengers. You got to... Spider-Man was also a selectable character. I said that.
You mentioned him in the beginning, yes.
I say that, though, because... And I have to say this right now. In the game, nobody had better lines than Spider-Man.
And that's the way it should be.
The dialogue, and that was the, in comparison to Justice League, the dialogue in Marvel Ultimate Alliance was just so much better. It was a very mature, and by mature I don't mean graphic, I mean it was just a much more adult conversation. Mm-hmm. It didn't come across as campy. Mm-hmm. And Spider-Man had some absolutely fabulous lines that just sort of make you chuckle in your seat.
Well, as Spider-Man should, because he's always portrayed as a witty kind of guy.
Exactly. You get to, Elektra was another playable character. Mm. You got to encounter, Nightcrawler, Jean Grey, Professor X, Namor the Submariner, you got to encounter the Super Skrull and Pybok.
All right, it's, so we get the idea. There was a large cast here.
Yes,
but how was the game?
Gameplay was excellent. You, in one player mode, you could alternate between the four heroes you chose. You had four selectable powers that you could use at any given time. In X-Men Legends, it was the same setup. You had four selectable powers, but if you ever wanted to change those powers, you had to go into the menu and alter your assigned slots. They did away with that sort of convoluted way of getting around it, and now they had it set up so that you get all your powers and you can change which powers are slotted with just the push of the D-pad instead of having to go into all your menus. So it made toggling your powers a lot easier. Because certain characters, like Spider-Man, had so many different powers that were useful in given situations that you constantly had to switch off. Other characters, like Iron Man, it was fairly straightforward and you never would need to. But it was nice to have. It was sort of like being able to turn on the lefty flip from the menu in Guitar Hero 2 as opposed to having to do it in the opening menu. Gameplay was straightforward. Bash things. But the way in which you would do that changed based on your character. They all had different lines during gameplay. It was very smooth. It was very thought out. And after you beat the game, you would unlock hard mode, which gave you the ability to start hard mode with all of the character data obtained from the last playthrough you just had. And, you know, as I said, it was released on 5 different consoles. Mm-hmm. PlayStation 2 version, not worth your effort. The PlayStation 2 version wasn't worth the loading times and the attempt at the graphics. Mm-hmm. The Xbox version, I think, is just fine. But anyway, Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Absolutely fabulous game. I have it for the Xbox, even though I don't own an Xbox. And I will be
that
getting...
just seems like poor planning to me.
Well, I ended up playing it on my brother's Xbox, but I will get an Xbox 360, and I will get Marvel Ultimate Alliance for the Xbox 360, even though I already own it for the Xbox. Call me crazy.
You're crazy.
Yes, I am.
So, yes, Justice League Heroes and Marvel Ultimate Alliance, which comes out on top.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Although, yes, I think we deduced that from your rantings earlier. So, yes.
That's from a fanboy.
Of course. If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? If I'm alive and well, will you be there holding my hand? I'll keep you by my side with my superhuman might, kryptonite. All right. And since we are on the subject, sort of superheroes, superhero exploits, Duggar noticed that there appear to be a lot of superhero-themed movies coming out here in the near future.
Yes, we have Ghost Rider, which is out in February, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing that.
Really?
I'm not a ghost...
You're looking forward to a superhero movie with Nicolas Cage? Really?
Yes. I know, it's surprising, and I was leery about it at first. I'm not necessarily a big Ghost Rider fan, but I think it's going to be done well. I've been kind of watching it, and the most recent trailer is really, I would say compelling, but again, you have to remember that I'm a fan for this kind of thing.
It's compelling in a superhero-y kind of way.
You know, well, Ghost Rider doesn't come across as necessarily a superhero kind of movie, because you look at Ghost Rider and you don't necessarily think superhero.
No, I think more like anti-hero or...
Well, he is an anti-hero, but he doesn't really come across as the hero type, so when you look at the movie, you don't feel like you're going to see this campy superhero movie. Mm.
By the way, speaking of campy superhero movie, I will always stand by Daredevil. While it is not a great superhero movie, it's good. It's a good popcorn flick, and yes, even with the camp there, it's fun to watch.
And I don't see a sequel for that one ever happening.
No.
I think they wanted
especially since Elektra tanked at the box office, pretty much.
Well, but the Elektra concept that they presented wasn't very compelling anyway. It wasn't very captivating. Elektra has so much more to her character, and they just didn't bring that out. It's not even necessarily a reflection on Jennifer Garner, who I don't believe was the best Elektra. Because if you read Elektra, you know anything about Elektra, she's very violent, and I think Jennifer Garner has a hard time coming across as overtly violent. She did a good job of being angry, but not violent. We also have, of course, Spider-Man 3 coming out in May.
Woo!
I'm very much looking forward to this. I'm not sure how it's going to go, because there seems to be so much going on in the movie, but I'm quite sure that it will be pulled off well. I was very impressed with the past two Spider-Man films. I, through a certain set of circumstances, wound up seeing Spider-Man 2 in the theater about 5 times.
That's interesting.
I went to see Superman Returns 5 times anyway, as well, but...
Yes, even though I questioned the director's choice in casting Topher Grace as Eddie Brock...
I'm suspending my judgment for now.
But because the past two Spider-Mans have been so good.
Exactly. And that's the only reason. I am banking on the fact that I have enjoyed them in the past, and I'm sort of just kind of trusting that it'll work out. But after Spider-Man 3, this isn't necessarily superheroes per se, but Transformers is, I believe it's out in May. And that I am also looking forward to. Although, I have to say, I'm not exactly sure how I feel about the redesigns that they have given the characters. The big one that I have is, you know, you would think that I'd have a problem with Megatron and his redo, but no, my biggest beef is with the cosmetic touches they gave to Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime is red, white, and blue. You just don't get around that, but he has been redesigned with this sort of...
It's like it's sort not, of purple and orange?
No, it's not even... It's sort of a mauve-ish purple.
Mauve-ish.
It's not even... I would be less leery about it if it was like a royal purple or a violet, if you're gonna go there, because at least that's a dark color. But no, they've given him this sort of mauve-ish purple, they've given him flames up the side of his... up the side of the front of the truck. And I just don't really agree with it.
It looks like the truck was used for street racing purposes or something, almost.
It really does. And then, of course...
I don't recall any time I've ever heard of a rash of street racing with big rigs involved.
Well, and then we go back to my comment about Megatron. I think you so aptly described it as...
He looks like... If you put an oval-shaped magnet into a bucket full of iron filings, basically, it's like a shrapnel bomb exploded.
Which breaks from what he was, and you would think that would bother me more, but it doesn't really. I think that they would have a hard time translating his original gun appearance into film. But still, it bugs me. Mm. But... Moving past the Transformers, there's also been the Silver Surfer will finally be appearing in a film. He will be appearing in the sequel to the Fantastic Four,
which did so well at the box office.
Well, you know, I enjoyed it. I went out to see it, and I had a good time watching it. I think that it left something to be desired, but I think it could have been a whole lot worse. And for those of you out there who keep tabs on this stuff, or actually rather for those of you who don't, there was an attempt at a Fantastic Four movie back in 92, and it was bad. So bad, in fact, that it never even made it to home video. The only place you can find it now are at conventions.
And isn't it? Wasn't it released in like a foreign country or something?
Didn't even get that far.
No? Okay.
It is a solely fan-oriented bit, and it's terrible. Mm. It's not even really true Fantastic Four canon. It's rather sort of based on the Fantastic Four. So. But anyway.
Well, I'm just saying, with the Fantastic Four movie, I don't think Jessica Alba should be in any movie where she actually has lines.
I have nothing against Jessica Alba as an actress. I don't believe that she is Sue Storm. Mm. And it doesn't even have to do with hair color or skin color or anything, which have been a lot of the complaints. Because, yes, Sue Storm is blonde hair, blue eyes. Okay, I got that. I could get past the cosmetics of the whole thing. It's... the way that she acts. She's not Sue Storm to me. And I'm not even a big Fantastic Four fan, but I've read enough to get a feel for who Sue Storm is, the Invisible Woman, and Jessica Alba, I think, just didn't do a good job of it.
She just, to me, she, from what little I've seen, she doesn't seem to be very independent or very smart sounding or feeling or... she doesn't seem to be very strong.
Well, she comes off as the 1960s version of the Invisible Woman. Is what she comes off as. The Invisible Woman of the last 10 years has been very independent. Sue Storm is supposed to have 4 PhDs in her own biomedical fields, but this Sue Storm just doesn't. She doesn't come off like that. Now, maybe that'll change. I don't know.
But was everyone else good casting, you think?
Reed Richards was okay. He wasn't the best, but he certainly wasn't the worst. I think the Human Torch was cast perfectly. The actor, and I don't remember his name off the top of my head. The actor who portrays Johnny Storm, the Human Torch, did it superbly. Of the original film...
Cheesy dialogue.
Well, of the original movie, he, I thought, did the truest interpretation of the character. Yeah. To match his powers, he's hot-headed, short-tempered, very abrasive, very unempathetic, and... He plays a lot of practical jokes on Ben Grimm, the Thing. Now, Ben Grimm, and again, don't remember the actor's name.
Michael Chiklis.
Yes, he was the Shield.
Yeah. Well, he was from the Shield. He's not the Shield.
Well, he's in the show.
Yeah.
He did a good Ben Grimm. Not the best Ben Grimm, but I think it would be hard to portray Ben Grimm as he is in the comics in a film. I think that his special effects were done well. I think that... You could actually see him being the Thing. Mm. So, what I'm looking forward to seeing is the Silver Surfer. And there is a trailer out there for the movie, and I was very impressed with the Silver Surfer, because the trailer primarily deals with the Surfer. It's this great scene where Johnny is chasing him, and it's just incredible.
So, are we going to see Galactus in this movie also?
Yes. Okay. We will see Galactus. For how long? I don't know. But in the land of geekdom and hero lore and comic books, that is all of the major happenings.
Sling us a web, you're the Spider-Man. Sling us a web tonight. And there's evil doers to fight.
All right, so we've come. We have talked. We have geeked out, and we've served you up yet another episode of Tump. Thank you for listening.
As always, you can get in touch with us either through our email account, which is ladambell@gmail.com. Or you can call our audio comment line and leave your feedback there. That's area code 206-984-2289. And we'd love to hear from you.
And we hope to see you again in the coming weeks. Anything to say before you go?
No, hope everyone had a good Christmas, a good New Year. I hope everyone's ready to get back into the swing of things. And we will regale you next time.
All right, indeed. For now, I'm Adam.
And I'm Duggar.
And we are gone. Out of here, pronto.
Indeed.
But wait, kiddies, the fun isn't over just yet. Check out Tump Plus for more stuff we had to cut from this show. And we'll talk to you guys again in a couple of weeks.